Again to Meet the Press. Our program today comes from Los Angeles, and our guest is the Democratic Governor of California, Mr. Edmund Pat Brown. This is the fourth of our series of interviews with leading American governors. Governor Brown is certain to play a leading role in next year's Democratic National Convention to be held here in Los Angeles. He has been mentioned as a possible presidential nominee, and he will lead a California delegation, second only to New York, in convention votes. Governor Brown recently joined with four other Democratic governors from the West in forming a Western Alliance. Its purpose is to win recognition for the West in the choice of 1960 nominees and in the writing of the Democratic platform. Governor Brown served two terms as the Attorney General of California before winning the governorship last year by a majority of more than a million votes in his memorable battle against a former Republican Senator William Nolan. And now seated around the press table, ready to interview Governor Brown, are Gladwin Hill of the New York Times, Marquis Childs of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Ed Arno of NBC News, and Lawrence E. Spivak, our regular member of the Meet the Press panel. Now, Governor Brown, if you're ready, sir, we'll start the questions with Mr. Spivak.
Governor, as you know, there have been many conflicting stories as to what you will and will not do about the Democratic presidential situation in 1960. Will you tell us as precisely and as exactly as you can what your intentions are for 1960?
Yes, I will. My intentions are to be the best governor that I possibly can be of the state of California. And I intend, in addition to that, to play just as important a role as I can in seeing that the Democratic Party selects the best possible candidate at the convention here next July.
Governor, when you threw your hat into the ring, you criticized Senator Nolan because you believed he was seeking the governorship as a stepping stone to the presidency. And during the course of the campaign, this is what you said: if it were offered to me, I would refuse a nomination. And if elected, I would refuse to serve. You've evidently changed your position from that, haven't you, or haven't you?
Well, I think that I have, but don't interpret that as a declaration of candidacy. After I made that statement, now that I've been governor of this state for a period of 9 months, I have discussed it with Democratic leaders all over California. Senator Engel, the congressmen, the 16 California congressmen, the Democratic senators and assemblymen here in this state, our national committeemen and committee women, and we're trying to determine what's the best way for the largest state under a Democratic administration to be most effective. I don't know what, at this time, what that role will be. It will probably be a favorite son candidacy here in California. That's been traditional of the governor in a state like California. But I can't tell you what I'll do.
Governor Lionel Steinberg, who's Democratic vice chairman for Southern California, was quoted as saying recently that significant steps will be taken within 90 days to start a serious Brown for President campaign with or without your permission. Now, are you going to do anything to encourage or to discourage such a campaign?
I've already discouraged it. I've told Mr. Steinberg that I feel that is not the right thing to do, and I've asked him not to do anything in that connection, and I hope that he won't. I feel it would be highly improper for me to even negatively approve such a campaign.
Mr. Arnold.
Governor Brown, assuming that you will not be a candidate for the presidency, you have said in the past that the number one problem in the nation is peace, and that because of the involvement in foreign affairs, the Democratic presidential candidate probably will come out of the Senate rather than the ranks of governors. I'd like to find out whether you still feel that the Senate is the best training ground for the presidency.
Well, I'm afraid you're confronting me with a great many statements that I've made over the past year. Very frankly, I feel that that world peace is the number one issue. But I do feel, too, that a governor, and I say this after a tough legislative session, does gain a great deal of knowledge in putting through an effective program. And I believe that there are Democratic governors of this United States that are experienced that would make an equally good president with a United States senator.
Would you prefer a Democratic candidate coming from the ranks of the Senate or governors at this point?
I have no preference in that direction at all.
Mr. Childs.
Governor Brown, you've just said that peace was to be the number one issue in the campaign next year. In this connection, what do you think has been the effect on domestic politics of the exchange of visits with the Russians and the forthcoming prolonged period of negotiation?
I think the effect of both the Nixon visit to Russia and Khrushchev's visit to the United States has to some extent, for the time being, cooled the Cold War. I think it's helped Mr. Nixon, as indicated by the polls, and in his aspirations to be the president of the United States.
Well, then perhaps you changed your mind about that, because I believe when he left, just as he left Russia, you called his tour a carnival. Were you quoted correctly on that, or?
I don't believe that is the full quotation. I said that I thought that such a visit could have dangerous implications if there were too much carnival spirit to it. But I did not call his visit a carnival. I don't believe you have the entire quotation.
In other words, you feel that his visit was a definite plus for him and the Republican Party.
I think that it's a definite temporary plus, yes.
Well, I'm interested in whether or not the two parties are going to be opposed on this issue next year, because I noticed that the former Secretary of State, Dean Acheson, who is also chairman of the Subcommittee on Foreign Policy for the Democratic Council, of which you're a member, said in Germany recently that he would not have discussed the Berlin question at all because he believed the situation in Berlin was all right. You would disagree with that, would you?
Well, I'm not prepared to say that I would agree or disagree with Mr. Acheson's statement. I think that there should be debate, and certainly next year, on the great issue of peace and foreign policy. I think the Republican Party has been without a foreign policy for the past 8 years. I think the trip of Mr. Nixon was the first, and the visit, the request for Mr. Khrushchev to come here is the first time that the Republican Party has made any move has shown any initiative whatsoever.
Mr. Hill.
Governor Brown, you said at the recent Western Governors Conference at Sun Valley that the Democrats should zero in on two or three presidential possibilities, quote, before it's too late, unquote. Now, the latest public opinion polls in California show a Nixon-Rockefeller ticket running ahead of various Democratic tickets, including those with yourself on them. Doesn't that suggest that, as far as California's 32 electoral votes are concerned, it's getting very, quote, late, unquote, already? And what do you propose to do about this?
I don't think it's getting too late at all. This is October, a year before the election, 11 months, 10 months before the convention, a year before the election. I said up there that we should zero in, and we're going to have to do it in January or February. But I think candidates are emerging in this. I think that we're moving along. We haven't the figures that are as well identified as Mr. Nixon and Mr. Rockefeller, but we've been suffering from wealth of candidates. That's been our difficulty. And time will take care of that situation. I'm not worried about it at all.
You also said at Sun Valley that whether you became more than a favorite Sun candidate might depend on the decision of a strong bloc of Democrats in the state. Considering that the state Democratic Committee, Executive Committee, already has come out unanimously in support of you on this, what bloc are you waiting for? The grassroots California Democratic Council, the conservatives led by Edwin Pauley, or the group that oriented around National Committeeman Paul Ziffrin? What bloc's word are you waiting?
I'm not waiting for any blocs at all. I'm concerned with the best candidate for the presidency. And what I want to do is to use this force that California can produce to select that candidate. But that does not include me. I'm not concerned with my own personal ambitions in this connection at all. I'm not a candidate at this time, and I'm not seeking any support. I've not asked a single governor to get me a delegate, nor any United States senator or anyone else.
Mr. Spivak.
Governor, I was going to let this drop, but you said a minute ago you're not a candidate at this time. Does that mean that you still have some question in your mind about it, though?
The only question that I have in my mind is whether I will be a favorite Sun candidate here in California.
I see. Now, several months ago, Governor Ribicoff made a survey of California, and he said that he believed Senator Kennedy could win the presidential primary in the state against any opponent. Do you think so?
I think that Senator Kennedy has great strength in California. Whether or not he could win a primary, I'm not prepared to say at this time.
Will you give us your estimate of, you know, the grassroots of this state, and you have some idea of who could make a strong race and who couldn't. Will you give us a rundown or an appraisal, at least, of the various Democratic hopefuls as they stand in your state today?
Well, I don't think that...
Without indicating your own preference...
I still wouldn't want to do that at this time. I think that any indication of strength could be misinterpreted as a indication that I'm for that particular individual. I can't say, and all of the candidates have been out here, and there are more coming. And I want to watch this and discuss it with the men that I've mentioned, the men and women that I've mentioned before I essay a guess on who's the strongest.
Governor, I can understand you're not wanting to commit yourself on the Democratic hopefuls, but what about the Republican hopefuls? There have been some talk that if Rockefeller challenged Nixon in this state, he might conceivably win a primary race. Do you think so, in view of what the polls are showing today?
I'm going to let the Republicans make the choice on that. I'm a Democrat, and I can't measure the pulse of the Republicans. They do some things sometimes that I can't understand.
Governor, if you do decide to become a favorite Sun candidate, will it be your intention to try to discourage other possible candidates from entering California in the primary?
It will not. I've made the statement that I hope that if we have a unified Democratic Party in California, that no one else enters. But we have a free primary in this state. And anybody that wants to test his strength and come into California, and I will do nothing other than saying that I hope that he doesn't come in to dissuade them. That's as far as I'll go.
Well, have you had any assurances or statements from any of them who say that they will avoid coming in here if you do become a favorite Sun candidate?
I have discussed the matter of the Democratic nominee with a great many of the candidates, but I have not asked any of them not to come into California. The public statement that I made is all that I've said about that.
Mr. Arnold.
A short while ago, you said the Republicans had been without a foreign policy for 8 years, Governor Brown. The Western Conference of Young Democrats... on September the 3rd, urged that the United States recognize Red China and trade with her. Now, this is opposite to the Republican foreign policy stand. Do you feel that the Democratic Party should take such a stand in 1960?
I'm not prepared to say that they should. I think that we should take a good look at the entire situation with respect to Red China. But the current situation with reference to prisoners, with respect to how badly they want to get into the United Nations, is something that I'm not, that I haven't been informed on recently, and I'd rather not take a position on it at all.
Well, when you say take a good look, would you say then that the Democrats ought to open this up and re-examine the official policy?
I think it should be re-examined. Senator Engel made a speech that I agree with 100%. I think we ought to look at the effect of this upon our foreign policy and try to determine whether it's good or bad for the United States. Recognition, of course, does not imply approval of that type of government. And I'm not prepared to say you have to measure this thing by its effect upon our foreign policy and what it will do to the to other nations, other friendly nations. And for a governor to discuss that without expert information, I think would just be the wrong thing to do.
Mr. Childs.
Governor Brown, in view of the dedicated opposition of the Catholic Church to communism, do you think a Catholic president could carry on the negotiations opened up by the Eisenhower administration with the Soviet Union on an objective basis? I ask you this knowing that you are a Catholic and knowing that at times this religious issue has been injected into politics.
Yes, I do. I don't think that that the religion, that the Catholic religion of a candidate would have the slightest degree with his obligation to the people of the United States and his effort to bring peace to the world.
As you know, earlier in the year, a Gallup poll showed, I think it was about 24% of persons asked said they would not vote for a Catholic for president. Do you think this prejudice, this bigotry, would have any effect on a presidential race if the nominee of one party were a Catholic?
I can only answer that from my own experience here in California. And it's my opinion that that it would have nothing to do with it whatsoever. I think in the gubernatorial race of last year, that if I were a Protestant and Senator Nolan were a Catholic, that it wouldn't have changed 50,000 votes one way or the other. I just don't believe that people will make that a prime issue in the campaign.
And you would translate this into national terms, too, even though the proportion of Catholic voters in this state is much smaller than...
I can only tell you that I've discussed it with, not recently, but during the last Democratic convention, with Southern governors. And I've asked them there whether or not they would vote for a Catholic as president. And they've all told me that would have nothing to do whether he were or were not a Catholic, the nominee.
Mr. Hill.
Governor, Senator Hubert Humphrey of Minnesota said that he'd stay out of California as long as presidential activity here went no further than a passive favorite son candidacy on your part. A few days ago, some California supporters of Senator Humphrey, evidently with his approval, began the organized promotion of a Humphrey-Brown or Brown-Humphrey ticket. Were you consulted about this? And if not, do you think it's a case of the camel sticking his nose into the tent?
I knew nothing about it until I received one of their letters in the mail. I think there is in California amongst the grassroots Democrats a real desire to begin moving on this Democratic nomination. I knew nothing about it. I had nothing to do with it, and I don't approve that any more than I do the actions of Lionel Steinberg. Let me say this: when a good friend of mine like Mr. Steinberg suggests that, you're flattered, of course, but I can't make it too clear that I am not doing a single solitary thing to promote my candidacy for the presidency of the United States. I want to be a governor. we have the greatest problems in the United States here in California. Our growth problems, university, colleges. It's taking all of my time, and I haven't had the I just haven't had the time to discuss it with other discuss even the presidential possibilities with other governors or senators.
Sir, in the campaign last year, one of your conspicuous assets in running for governor was that you were a middle of the roader who could draw votes from both liberals and conservatives on both sides of the party line. Now, leaving yourself personally out of this future picture, do you think this is the sort of a candidate that the Democrats will need in 1960 rather than an intensely partisan personality? And what candidates do you think meet this specification?
I think that we need a good liberal fighting candidate who can carry the message to the people, and I think everyone that's been mentioned prominently as a possible candidate meet those qualifications.
Mr. Spivak.
Governor, in 1960, the Republicans are evidently planning to make peace and prosperity their major issue. Now, if they do, just what are the Democrats going to be able to counter with?
Well, in connection with peace, the recent breakdown, you might say, of the barrier between conversation is in a beginning stage, and I'm unable to estimate that. I certainly hope that these visits have not diminished our awareness of the continuing problem of communism, and that we better keep awfully strong. But that isn't enough. I think the Democratic Party during the administrations of President Roosevelt and President Truman indicated a positive policy, point four programs, and things such as that. I still, despite the visits, I don't know where they're going with the visits that they've made. I don't know what they're going to bring to the summit conference, and I just don't think that I think that the Democrats will make a better case in that connection. With respect to prosperity, there is prosperity to some extent. On the other hand, the high cost of money, the interest rates are terrible. And if they're not inflationary, I don't know what it is. Here in California, we want to pass $1.75 billion bond issue. We'll have to pay a tremendous sum of interest to the Wall Street bankers when we sell those bonds. This has a terrible deterrent effect upon the growth problems of our state. I think the economic policies of the Republican Party will be a major issue, and that we will come forth with a program far better than the Republicans. And I think it could very well be the real issue of the campaign next year.
Governor, you were one of the group of governors who stayed as affected by the steel strike, and I think you asked the president to meet with you. If you were meeting with the president today, what would you advise him to do about the steel strike?
Well, he's already invoked Taft-Hartley, and I assume that he'll file suit to send the steelworkers back. I think that the president should have acted a long time ago. I think the loss that we've had in that connection is something that we'll never regain. And I can't tell him what to do now. It's too late. What I would have told him to do is to bring these people together and let them, which he did only a week or two ago, prior to his visit to Palm Springs, and really try to throw the force of the prestige of the presidency behind a settlement.
Mr. Childs.
Governor Brown, you said recently you thought Lyndon Johnson was too closely connected with oil and segregation to be the Democratic nominee. Did you mean by this that you preferred another candidate or that you thought he couldn't win?
I have a very deep respect for Lyndon Johnson. I know him personally. I visited with him at his home. But here in California, the problem of natural gas and the increase in the cost of it has been a major issue, the fights that we've had with the El Paso natural gas. And Mr. Johnson represents the state of Texas. That's one of their great industries. It would be difficult for me to put that over in California. And, of course, Texas has not been a leader in breaking down segregation. And I think that the liberals of the state of California and the large minorities that we have would make it very difficult for him to carry this state.
Mr. Arnold.
Governor Brown, do you or don't you favor having the South thrown out of the Democratic Party if the South tries to block a strong civil rights plank, which you have asked to be stronger than 1956?
Well, I think the South has a right to do whatever they want. I certainly don't want to throw anybody out of the Democratic Party. I hope they'll, like we will, we'll be ruled by the majority at that convention. We'll fight for a strong civil rights program. I'm sure the Southerners, they're good Democrats. They disagree on this, but they're not going to walk out of this convention next year.
Mr. Childs?
Isn't it a fact, Mr. Childs,
I just looked at my watch. I'm afraid that we're not going to have time for any more questions. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I see that our time is running out.
And Monitor's thanks to the Honorable Edmund G. Pat Brown, the Governor of California, and the members of the Meet the Press panel for an enlightening half hour. Meet the Press, produced by Lawrence E. Spivak. Now, a personal word, if I may. When you look ahead to all the things you're going to do when you retire, be sure that you plan ahead, too. Plan to have an extra retirement income. How? Well, simply by investing in United States savings bonds now. Savings bonds are as safe and sound as America itself and are fully guaranteed against loss or theft. Perhaps, too, you have youngsters who are looking forward to college in the not-too-distant future. Unless you prepare for this well in advance, this is a goal that they might never reach. Thousands of Americans are preparing for college for their youngsters by investing part of what they earn now in United States savings bonds, many through the payroll savings plan where they work. It's easy, simple, and it's automatic. So whether you are providing for an extra retirement income or preparing for those youngsters' college careers, savings bonds provide a sure way to make those dreams come true. Start buying United States savings bonds where you work or bank, beginning tomorrow. News follows in a moment. Monitor, of course, continues. But for me, for this week, time's running out. One final word. Today is the 75th birthday of Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt. This brief quote from her. The most important thing in any relationship is not what you get, but what you give. This is Ben Grauer saying thank you and good night.